We're going to be in the book of Genesis. And I tried to wrap up chapter 1 as quick as I could last week. And as far as there are some things, I may go back and give you some Hebrew explanations of certain words and how they relate to what we're going to be approaching in the second chapter here of Genesis. So we're going to start in chapter 2 of Genesis. And it basically has four subject matters. And so I'm only going to address two of the subject matters. Yes, Daniel.
Last week, you had made one of the, I forget which one it was, about water being to wait. So it was meant to wait. What was the right word?
To wait.
To wait, something like that, or to hold. Or
stand still. It means to stand, not move.
I can't help but think, because I think of wait, I mean wait until something future changes. To cause a reason to no longer stand still. There might be one of the reasons why God uses water and describes people as water and back and forth. They use them interchangeably. Because it appears me that you have obviously bodies of water with regards to the Mediterranean Sea, you have the Dead Sea, the rivers all being dried up, various things occurring in and around the Middle Eastern area for Revelation's book as well as later prophets. And it uses bodies of water. And the waters dried up, or the flood came, the whole earth opened up, consumed. It's like the waiting has ended. The water is there to wait. It's a symbol. It's a symbol for individual people or groups of people have to stand and wait until their time is ready. Then they are the ones who are set free to go do whatever they need to go do. It's quite interesting. I hadn't really thought about that until you mentioned last week.
And move forward to the to Revelations. All right. When the great quote flood, though it's not a flood, the picture of the first flood is a picture of physical water doing damage, and now we're going to have the army of God come in and do the damage, which is going to be the people that he has called. And we're going to be fighting for him, and they're going to they go through, and nothing harms them. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to talk about that. We got the book of Noah, but we're not there. That's good. I'm glad you brought that up. All these things are always the symbolism, yes. Everything in the Torah, especially... Well, everything in the Torah and even in the Prophets, you know, God pictures things that he has created in the physical world to let us know what is going to happen in the spiritual world. God didn't make a mistake creating anything physical or just make it because, it'd be kind of cool to make. No, it's just going to tell us something about him. Everything that he's ever done, not one word of his, and I would say not one word of his, including when God said, and God said, and God, was it five times, six times in the first chapter? It will not come back to him, boy. It will be completed. All right? Okay, I'm going to read, I'm going to have Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to only cover verse 1 to 7. I hope you will tolerate that length of time. But it covers three subject matters. And so I'm going to run through those three subject matters. But first, I'll read them. Chapter 1, verse 2. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he had rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which the Lord created and made. And these are the generations of heaven and earth which were created in the day that God had created man, God made and made the earth and heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the soil. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Shall I go home now?
It just getting warmed up.
Now, I have to get into some Hebrew words, if you don't mind. They're fascinating. When I try to explain something to some people, you know, I got an engineering mind, but I have a little bit different than just a straight engineering mind. I'll explain what I'm saying. An engineer gives me his designs. He gives me what he wants me to do. And I pay attention to every detail, every jot and every tittle of the design to make sure that it can be made and machinists can make it and it can be functional to whatever it mates to. You understand what I'm saying? I'm what we call a mechanical designer. I take what the engineer has done and I design it to make it work. That's my function. He comes up with the invention. He comes up with the idea. I just take his invention, take his idea, and I polish off the parts that don't work. Like chisel away everything to look like an elephant. He says, I want an elephant. This is what it's going to do. And I says, okay, and I start chiseling away, and there's an elephant. So I'm just using that as an analogy. I don't know how to make an elephant. But you understand a little bit things, and I look at this Genesis. And the reason why there's so many words, and I would like to be able to expound on them, but I'm going to only cut a few words here and there. The first word I'm going to go into is in chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. I'm going to that word. I know we all know what it means, right? Completed, ended, million, goodbye, all is over with. Let's go on with the next story. But I want to stop this for just a moment, because he introduces something in this first section of chapter 1. I mean, of chapter 2, rather. And this word is, in Hebrew, kalah. K-A-L-A-H. Kalah. All right? And all basically means is to accomplish, to cease, to concern, to end, to finish, or to complete. All those kind of words. We understand that word. The word finish has got a good word on it. But I want to expound on this word so we can have a little picture. Because this is going to lead us to what this word is going to lead us to what is known as Shabbat. All right? The first thing it's going to tell us is going to lead us to something. Most of us, when we read it, we just say, okay, what's next? Well, that's true. But I want to go to Exodus. You don't have to turn there. Take your notes down. Exodus 31, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of the consuming with them upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stones, written with the finger of God. He made a finish. He made an end to it. He completed it, the two tablets of stone. So we got this picture. Something has come to an end. It's finished. And so we look at this word. We say, okay, where else does it use? We don't worry about that right now. We'll get into that a little later. Chapter 2, verse 2. All right. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made, and rested on the seventh day from his work, which he had made. Which word do you think I'm going to accentuate on?
Ended.
I'm going to...
Rested.
Next. I'm going to use the word work. Work. Remember what Hebrew said? He ceased work. Okay, what does that mean in Hebrew? It's a very interesting word. Melacha. Now, what word sounds close to melacha? Melech. Huh?
Melech.
Melech. Malach. Molech. Okay. Okay, now I'll explain what that word means. It's also a word for, and it's a noun form, is a word for messenger. We talked about this before. I went to the book of Hebrews, talked to you about that. Messenger of the Lord is always the word angel of the Lord in Hebrew as well as in Greek. But if it's a messenger of a prophet, a messenger of anybody else, they don't use that word angel. Right? So now we're at this point where now we have this unusual word which comes from a messenger. You think a messenger works?
Yeah.
He does work. Yeah. He does work. And so, but it's interesting to know where that word came from, and it has a root word, has to do with being a messenger. Basically, it's occupation or work or business, whatever you're doing, and you have a job to function and to carry out. So he ended his melachah. Did I pronounce that right? Melachah. He ended his melachah. He ended his
work.
Okay. Let's play on words here. What I say, it can be translated into noun.
Messenger.
He ended his message. Oh, his message completed. Oh, what's the story? See, chapter 1, I told you. Chapter 1 tells you, in the beginning, it tells you the end. The message is completed in chapter 1. All right? So let's go on. Now, sorry, what? Oh. The word ended, by the way, is the same word as finished. I'll let you know that in that Hebrew word. Now, the next word I want to go to is rested. Now, in Hebrew, I'm going to tell you the verb form. Okay? The verb form, rested, which we get the noun form of Shabbat or Sabbath, means basically a simple word to repose from all work. Repose from any kind of exercise, any kind of anything. But that word is translated into more places. A very unique word. Now I'm going to spend some time on this word so we have a picture. Remember that what I talked about in the book of Hebrews? There was a God's rest is different than the Sabbath. I showed you in Hebrew, the word Sabbath shows up only once. The rest of the time, it's in God's rest. You remember that I said that? Here's where we're going to find out what it means. The word Sabbath means in a verb form, because I'm looking at the verb form, because in this particular case, the word rested is a verb form of the word which we have translated and is translated, properly translated into what we call a noun verb of rest or of Shabbat. All right? I want to give you some flavors of what this comes about. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest time, in cold and in heat, in summer and winter, and day and night shall not, and it says, what does your translation say?
Cease.
Anybody else have a different kind of translation? It's probably the best one to use this word here. It's the same word that's used there in Genesis chapter 2. He ceased. You understand what I'm saying now? He didn't just rest. He ceased. In Hebrews, it tells us now there remains a rest day for the people of God. They must cease their work as God ceased his work. There's a play on words there. The author of Hebrews knew what that Hebrew word really meant. And it meant to cease. Go on. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 26. And I said, I would scatter I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. See, here they had to translate the word cease. They couldn't translate the word, I will rest them. I'll put them to rest. No, he ceased. He stopped. So when we think about the Sabbath day and the word Sabbath, it doesn't come from the word rest. It comes from the word cease. And this is why on the Sabbath day, we are to cease. And then we can continue the next day. We cease. We don't just rest. We cease. We stop doing something. Okay? Jeremiah 48, verse 33. Jeremiah 48, verse 33. And joy and gladness is taken plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused all the wine to fail from the wine press. So we can't use the word Sabbath there, can we? We can't use the word that's translated Sabbath there. We have to use the word, in this case, they use the word fail, or it cease. I'll cause the wine to cease. Stop. End. Be completed. Remember the first verse, chapter 2, verse 1? And he did what? What was the first word I said that we look at? He finished, ceased, stopped. Okay. So get a picture here of just what the Sabbath word means. It's greater and different meaning than just relax, take it easy, keep it holy. There's something else. How would you keep it holy? Well, you do what God did. What did he do? He ceased. All right? He just ceased. Does that make sense to you so far? So it's very interesting. I'm looking at the verb form. I'm not looking at the noun form. Noun form, I have no... You all know what it means. But does it really mean rest? It means I've ceased. Yes?
Can you define what that means in practice, ceasing?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
All right? You got a good question? We'll get to that. I want you to turn to Amos. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Odd translation.
That's Amos what?
Amos 8, verse Amos 4, verse 4. Cause them to fail. Now here's this word again. Cause them to rest. Doesn't fit. Cause them to cease. Doesn't quite fit either. But cause them to do what? Not just fail, but cease to be. Eliminated them. We'll find out what this cease means because it also includes some very unusual, odd definitions. This one I think you'll find very funny. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Now chapter 12 is what? It's about the days of unleavened bread of a Passover. We all know that by heart, right? We all know that by heart, right? It's kind of cool. So take a look at this thing. Exodus 12, chapter, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even on the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. What word do you think it is that has to do?
Cut off.
Okay. Anybody else? That's fun. Take a wild guess. Sure. Erd. It wasn't that one.
Remove.
Okay. Have fun. You know. It's really odd. Something you must cease from doing. Even on the first day you shall put away leaven. Put away means you shall cease leaven.
Mine says remove instead of put.
Or remove. Okay. It's a good word there. Remove. It's kind of interesting to look at this. Now, how is this related still to the word Sabbath? It's something you must do. In practicality, you must remove something. Or you must complete, something must come complete to a completion, to an end. And in our daily way of life, in our daily way of working, in our daily way of practicality, what is it that we do every single week? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And what are we supposed to cease?
Work.
Okay. And?
Rest.
Well, rest is a physical word. Can I get something practical now?
Well, the things that you do every day.
Including what's in the spirit. What's in your mind, with your heart and your soul. Your mind ceases from the things of this world. Your mind ceases from the cares and the world that's around about you. Your mind now must come to a cease. It must come to an end. And we have in our world sometimes, we think about finances, we think about money, we think about that. And then we sometimes, I'm sorry, we even start talking about things of this world, like politics. And it gets us all worked up. It gets us all frustrated and angry, you know. I'm not saying that we can't face and know what they are, but, you know, there's something there that Jesus said to in the book of Luke about being a watchman at the final end. Do not be concerned about the cares and the ways of this world. There was a lady my wife is aware of that's wanting to change, okay, the world. She believes that's her function, that she must change the world. And therefore, she's very frustrated because what she wants to change, it doesn't get changed, but she feels the responsibility to change them. What is God going to do when he's going to end the world?
He's going to give her peace.
He's going to give her peace.
Finally.
Yes.
I wonder if it's a bit of a stretch to compare proclamations made under a authoritarian government to ones that are in a world where most governments are democratic. Because in the world of both under the kings of Israel and under the Roman Empire, you know, you can, anything you wanted to do to change society is pretty much, you know, you might as well stick it, because Caesar or the governor is going to just tell you to take a flying leap or throw you in jail or whatever, and that was the end of that. But in a democratic society, if you do not speak out, since supposedly we are governed by the people and for the people, if you do not speak out and you do not try to change it, you are thus responsible for the way it goes.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Okay, what I'm saying, this particular lady has a different approach, though, than what you're talking about.
But it's just a
burden that she bears that she should not bear.
Right, but I'm just saying that people make the argument, well, you know, God says you're not supposed to get involved with the things of the world. Well, fine. But if you live in a democracy, if you do not get involved in the things of the world, you are responsible for the way they go.
Now, I'm not arguing with that one. I'm just talking about the burden, okay? When we, yes.
In a sense, that's true. But in a sense, God gives us, it says, if my people will only pray and turn away from their evil ways, I will heal their land. So much of it is not dependent upon us fixing from underneath. It is from righteousness causing God's blessings to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if the righteous don't speak out in a democracy, you're responsible for the way it goes.
I'm not, that's not one of my statements. The burden is too much. It should be upon, God will handle the burden.
Right, because, you know, the even though you can speak out, what you can say is not the only thing that's going to be involved in changing.
Right.
But those who do believe in God must speak out.
Right. I'm not getting wrong in that. I'm just talking about the thing about rest is cease from doing something. And sometimes if you are wrapped up too much in the political scene, how many of you have been paying attention to the political scene? Have you watched it? What are they talking about? What are they doing? What are they accomplishing? What they're doing? That's democracy, right? We have two people, and what are they doing? It's democracy. You make a choice between two people. The question you have to ask yourself is, oh my. All right? You have to ask yourself something. I mean, I asked myself, and I said, there's an old man there, remember, president. He's older than me. He should have a whole lot more sense than you. All he's doing is attacking the other candidate. Come on, let's get back off the attack of the other candidate and just talk what you see could be righteous and holy and just and good for our country, for our world. And that doesn't work. Okay? So you pray that God will wake up, and hopefully that whoever is going to be president might be able to see that.
Richard?
Yes?
Could you apply Isaiah 58, what Isaiah is talking about the Sabbath? And if you hold back your foot on Shabbat from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call Shabbat a delight, Yahweh's holy day worth honoring, then honor it by not doing your usual things or pursuing your interests or speaking about them.
That's what you cease from doing. That's the ceasing, stopping from doing something. Yes?
One of the things about Isaiah 58 you have to remember is the context of it. Well, if you look at the beginning of it, it has a lot of language of Yom Kippur.
Right.
So when you talk about Shabbat, this is not just any Shabbat. This is the Shabbat of Yom Kippur, which is talking about. Because they're like, well, why don't you see all my fasting? You know, it's like, I don't care what you're fasting. If you're robbing the poor and killing and murdering, you know, and then you come to me and fast and say, oh, God, look how holy I am. You know, it's like, I don't want to see that, God says. So in a sense, God's saying to even call the deprivation.
Okay, I was getting it. Psalm, I'm going to move on. Psalms chapter 8.
Psalm what?
Psalms 8, chapter 8, verse 2.
I'm just saying to Jeff, it's the same ceasing. It's the same kind of rest, nevertheless. Yom Kippur or Shabbat, it's that kind of a ceasing.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger.
Psalms
8, verse 2. What I'm trying to do is have a picture of what the word Sabbath means. It is an ending of something, it's a ceasing, it's a stopping of something. In this particular case, the word is still. Thou doubt may rest the enemy in his anger. We can't use the word rest. It wouldn't work here as it does in the second chapter of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. So I'm saying to you is that we think of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, don't think of in the term of rest. That God had to take a break because he was tired. It means he ceased from doing something. And when we do on the Sabbath day, we keep Sabbath day, our mind should not be upon what we are doing, where mind should be ceased from what we are doing, and our minds be must placed where? On what God says, this is my Sabbath, and therefore you will have a delight in it, and you will listen to me, and I want you to listen to me, because it's a delight to hear on what the Lord has to say. Yes?
Would the word observe?
No. Observe is a different word, but we won't get there yet. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7. No, we won't go there. Let's get 2 Kings 23, verse 11. 2 Kings 23, verse 11. And he took away the horses that the king of Judah had given to the son at the beginning of the house of the Lord by the chamber of the Nathan, Melech, the chamber, which was in Bruce, and burned the chariot of the sun with fire. Now, see, with that word Shabbat we use, which does have a good word for rest, don't get me confused. But still has to do with something that you stop doing. In this particular case, he takes away the horses. The word away. And he ceased the horses. He stopped the horses from has to do with the army. And he got rid of the, when he got rid of the horses, guess what happened? He got rid of the chariots too, right? Another interesting word. To answer your question a little bit. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32. And it shall be a Sabbath or Shabbat, of rest or Shabbat. Really good word. Means you will really do the ceasing on my Sabbath. That's basic boiled down to. He says, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall, what does your translation say? You what? Chapter 23, verse 32.
It says celebrate.
Yours says celebrate. That's not what it says in Hebrew, by the way, just to let you know. This is a day of atonement, right? Okay, he's not telling you to celebrate, he's telling you to cease. Well, that answers the question about what you're doing here on the Day of Atonement. You cease. What did he do? Really translate? You shall cease. That's all it says in Hebrew. On the ninth day of the month, at evening, you shall even, unto the evening, you shall cease. The whole phrase, celebrate, and the word Sabbath is one word. It's not two words, it's one word. In Hebrew. Isn't that interesting? So you got your word celebrate. It's not really what it's telling you to do, and of and by itself is telling you, cease, stop doing something on the day that you're going to fast. All right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's with that one, it's kind of strange because, you know, if you were to just take it literally with cease, you'd be like, and you shall cease your Sabbath.
And Sabbath is not connected there in the Hebrew word.
Well, it is there.
It's there, but it's talking about, not literally. I went to the Hebrew, looked at it literally.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the word Sabbath. You're not cease from resting.
Right.
But you're going to cease by resting. All right. Now, let's go on to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Don't know if I get this down or not. See if I can't run this one through real quick. And God blessed the seventh day. You know what the word blessed means?
Sanctified.
No, sanctified is what is going to, how it got blessed. Yes?
It uses the Hebrew word for Baruch. Like Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu. It uses
right.
The Baruch, doesn't it?
What's the verb form? All right. We have it in our English language and we don't even know it. We have it in our English language, we don't even know it. It's an interesting word. When you go out to the woods, let's say, and there is a stream of water, and you want a drink of water, what do?
Kneel down.
Kneel!
That's what it
means. Word brook in English, our word, the brook, creek, brook, that means kneel, knees. So, what happens when you kneel before God?
You're getting blessed.
You what?
You're getting blessed.
And so now we see a physical period of time, called the Sabbath, that in a sense is kneeling before God. And God does what with it? He sanctifies it. Now, that's a different word. Okay? It's kind of an interesting word about blessed. Something that is humbling, something that honors God, something that is respectful to God, something that will respond to God. And in a sense, the Sabbath day itself, the seventh day of the week, does exactly that. That's its function. That's why it was created. It didn't come about because nothing else happened. It came about because He created it that day. And that day now is honoring, if I could put it, that time is honoring God. In a sense, by, in a sense, being on his knees, or it's, in a sense, it is functioning the function that God wants it to do. We don't think of time, of a 24-hour time, serving God. But it actually, that's exactly what it did. Is not God the creator of time? Then He make time, create, and serve Him. Since He, of course, controls it. Sanctify. What does that mean? It's a real simple word. To become clean, or to be clean. So now, on this 24-hour period we call Shabbat, it is a period that He, God, the reason why, how He blessed it, was by cleaning it, making it clean, and being holy in the very beginning. Yes?
Abraham... Yehoshua Heschel says that it is a sanctuary in time. That even before there was the Mishkan, there was a sanctuary in time. And time alone is God's domain.
Right.
Time alone.
So since He controls it.
Yes.
Yes. Now, there's also some very interesting play on words with this word. Job. 11th chapter. Job, first chapter, verse 11. Very unusual. Basically, it's doing just the opposite. Whoops, long chapter, no, wrong place. It had to do with the day of rest, and there Job had to do with the word curse. I don't want to use that word. Okay, so we have a picture here of the holy day or Sabbath day being what? Don't go to Job. That was a previous note. I didn't want to read. I got the page confused. Don't go to Job. Don't go to Job. Now, chapter 2, verse 4. Don't know if I get this last part. I'll do my very best. Of Genesis. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, which were created in the day that God made the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For God, the Lord God, or Yahweh Elohim, had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. All right, now a whole new introduction is coming here. Do you see a change? What is the change taking place?
Coming to the end of the account.
Coming to the beginning of another account.
Yeah.
All right. All of a sudden we have a name. And that name is associated with Elohim. First time it shows up. Right? Now, one thing very interesting about this particular section, these two verses. Now the name is connected with Elohim. Now it's being connected, and certain events unfold about the creating or the creating of man. Now, didn't we have that in the first chapter? No, we didn't. Here now it says something unusual. No plant life, no rain, no tilling the ground, and a mist came up from Eretz. and watered the face of the ground. What does that tell you? What is this telling you? There was no what? Plant? Before the Eretz brought up a plant, and before Eretz brought up an herb for it to grow. Why? Because there was no rain, and there was no man to till the soil. But something did come up from the earth. What came up from the earth? Didn't come from beneath. It didn't come from the sea. It came from the Eretz.
Mayim.
What?
Mayim.
Life. It's a mist.
Life. Nope. Up came a mist. A what?
It says a flow. What is the Hebrew word for mist?
The air.
And verse 7, we'll go there in a minute. And verse 7, the Lord God formed Yetzer, man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or nashama, means to blow away, of life, and the man became a living soul. So the water did not come from the sea. The water came up from the ground, and it was a mist. It wasn't rain that came down from above. The reason why no rain came down from above, why did no rain not come down? How come God didn't just get the ground wet by rain? He brought it up from the earth. Now, why did he bring it up from the earth for? Missed that in chapter 1. Everything comes up from the earth. All plant life, all animals, everything else comes up from the earth. Does not come up from the water. All right, and on earth holds what? You dig down a little ways, what do you got?
Water.
Water, lots of water. So the earth has got a lot of water in it. But this is a mist, just enough dampness, just enough to do one thing, and that is to form. You know what the word form means? To squeeze into shape. He took the clay or the dirt, the Adama, he took it and formed it. He crushed it. He formed it. He shaped it as a potter does. And he did something with this form. And he made it into what? A living soul. What is a living soul?
Nathan.
What? Sorry, what?
Does it have to do with the fact that it has an apex? It's breath.
The word you have there in your language and breathed is the verb form of nephesh. Breathed means to inflate, to blow up, to do whatever it is. It's calling that God now is breathing, inflating something within Adam. What is he breathing, inflating into Adam?
Light.
It's an interesting word in Hebrew. It says, became a living soul. And in Hebrew it says, you know, they have a lamed in there. To, in a sense, literally, to breathe life. Now keep that in mind. We're going to go to a very interesting place, which I hope to be able to finish. Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel, please. The dry bone chapter. Trombone chapter, verse 27, 37. This is fascinating, of it by itself. Remember, God did not breathe into the nostrils of a fish, a dog, a turtle. He breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living nephesh, a living thing. Now, man dies, right? Verse 9. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, O son of man, and say unto the wind, thus says the Lord God, come up from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon them that are slain, that they may live. What word is unusual there? In your especially English language. You know that word that says breath? It's not the word breath. It's the word O Spirit. O Spirit. Breathe. O Spirit, breathe upon them. Ruach HaKodesh. Now, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, it says there that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Right? Let me ask you a question. Did that ever leave?
No.
It contained, when he did it, it stayed and it still remains. And that Spirit of God is what gives life to anything. Yes.
What about when Yeshua was here and he said, I have to leave so that the Spirit can return?
Different Greek word, but we're not going to go there today. But it has not, we're talking about the life. I hadn't looked at it in Hebrew, but you still talk of spirit. Spirit is something that's wind, something that you have to be born into, right? Okay, how do you be born into wind? You have to be born into the water and into the wind. What does that mean, being born into wind? Well, what do you think it means? You have to be born into life. This God is what? Made up of what?
Spirit.
He made up of spirit. He's not made up of anything else but spirit. And therefore, when God would breathe here, he's breathing spirit. His spirit is being breathed into these people who are dead. Yes?
Is the point here the fact that the life that is in everything else is its life, but it's not life from God in the same way? It's not a spiritual life.
Correct.
That makes sense.
It's a Ruach HaKodesh. It's God's spirit.
But I mean, all the humans have this life.
Correct. Every human being basically has to have, otherwise they don't exist.
But they don't have God's spirit, but they have a life.
They don't have the heavenly breath. They don't have the heavenly air, if I can use that terminology. They don't have the heavenly wind. When you turn in and you become baptized, he says you must be bought of water and a spirit. He's not talking about flesh and blood. He's talking about being changed, being formed, and now your life is coming. What did Jesus say? You get to come and go wherever you want. Nothing stops you. Earth doesn't stop you. The moon doesn't stop you. The sun doesn't stop you. Plant life doesn't stop you. Nothing stops you. And nothing stopped him when he became spirit, right? He goes right through walls. It doesn't really go through walls. He just appears in walls. Like beam me over there, Scotty. So we talk about when God breathed into Adam, he just didn't breathe in what we think of oxygen in and out. Yes, he did, because it's a physical thing. Everything that is physical and the physical breath that you take in and you take out is a representation of one thing and one thing only. And that is the very spirit of the living God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you breathe in and breathe out, it represents the living thing of God. Now, does a dog breathe in and breathe out? Yes. So what does that mean?
Has got a signature on it.
He's what?
Has got a signature on it.
But he's the one that creates it. He's the one that made it. So in with God's, quote, spirit that represents in the flesh going in and out of a dog is just a representation of life that's on this earth. We haven't gone into where he says, in dying you shall die. Different issue. So when we think about God breathing into the nostril of man, it's a representation of what he's going to do for you and for me. What is he going to do? He's going to breathe his life into you.
Forever.
He's going to breathe his life into you forever. Now, Adam, he didn't have it yet. He was yet to learn to breathe in and breathe out that which is on this earth, the air, as a representation of something. I believe Adam understood. I believe Adam was not a dummy. I believe Adam understood what God had meant, what he meant by it. When he said what he said, he meant it. And he understood what it meant. Yes, the physical things around about me is going to be a picture of something. I don't think God left him in ignorance at all. Yes?
So when Yeshua says to Nicodemus, the wind, the Spirit blows where it will. He's actually talking about being born again spiritually.
Spiritually, not
above.
Physically. We use a term in Christianity to be born again, but technically it's not what the real word is. Okay? In Greek, it can mean one or the other. But when he says, when you are, you know, told the disciples, when you are converted, you know, they weren't converted yet. They have not been changed yet. They have not been altered yet. Minds have not been. It takes a while for the growth of mind to change.
Mm-hmm.
It takes sometimes a lifetime. But a picture here of something that took physical, like God physically rested the Sabbath day, picture something, ceasing from something. We cease from things on the physical plane that gives us God's spiritual plane where we enter into His rest, not ours. This is the reason why the Sabbath is a mark. It's a sign between Him and us. What is that sign? You are entering into my place of rest. And when He enters into His place of rest, there's life forever. Am I getting a little confusing here? Okay. The living soul, the very finish it is to breathe life. That's all it means, to breathe life. He breath, he breathe, blew his nose up, in order that he may be able to breathe life. To lamed, breathe. Lamed means to. Nefesh, life. I mean, nefesh is what we call breath. And then, chaim, life. Not death, but life. That's the whole purpose of the creation, the very beginning. So why was it ever established in the beginning? Why God did what He did. He created them in His form. Took them out of mud. Adam, by the way, is a very interesting word. It's a Hebrew word. In the verb form, it means red blood. The verb form. When it's a noun form, it just means red clay. But in the verb form, it means red blood. That's what was in him. Red blood.